Welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, the full CHGO White Sox crew. That is Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer, who has two brand new articles published up at all. Is it two?
It's one.
The newsletter shared the Colson.
Yeah, I reshared the Colson Montgomery one because there's Colson Montgomery news today. Mm-hmm. There's a new story out on Yoan Moncada. You should go check it out. It'll make all of you anti-bunt people very angry. And CHGO White Sox Weekly comes out tomorrow morning. It can land in your inbox if you have signed up. If you haven't, you should sign up.
I'm an anti-bunt guy.
Yeah,
I didn't come on way angry. Maybe because I understand what you're going at. But you should read it for us, as you told our guy, sales guy Jim. Hey. Read, then react.
All right.
It works out, guys. Well, got to get the proper context.
Why don't we give people about 40 minutes? They can listen, and then they can go and read at allchgo.com, and then we'll react later on in the show, because I've read it, Herb's read it, Vinny...
I proofread it, certainly.
Okay, yeah. All right. So, yeah.
Multiple times.
So there we go. So that's Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. The man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at Eckner-Wall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. Our producer is Sarah.
Hello.
And make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. Make sure you're hitting the subscribe button to our CHGO Sports YouTube channel. On today's show, we'll be talking about Michael Kopech and Garrett Crochet, their battle for the final roster spot rotation spot. Maybe. Who knows? And then we'll talk a little bit about Dylan Cease. Maybe the rumors will start kicking up again. Maybe the hot stove is getting rekindled. We'll see. And then, as we mentioned, we're going to give you time to go read Vinny's story about Yoan Moncada bunting and why it's going to enrage you. So make sure you're joining us a little later to talk about that. And then hello to Matthew Cortese, who's joining us in the chat.
And also, you are dressed like the albino gazoo today. Just wanted to give that out, because someone's been watching this for already like 3 minutes, and they're like, are they really not going to address the fact that Sean is wearing a white Great Gazoo hat?
Usually I have a CHGO dad hat. You can go check out the CHGO locker for, to purchase that. And I walked in, and I didn't have my hat. And there was this hat.
There you go.
And I had the opportunity to wear this hat.
You jumped at it.
Why not? Why else? What else?
Capitalized. Do you do with
this hat? People think, this is a novelty. People won't wear this.
Yeah.
I'll wear this.
Oh, I would have never doubted that you would wear it, but it is a novelty.
No, it's definitely a novelty. But I feel like I can distract people behind me. Like, I feel like this could cause traffic situations.
No. So don't wear it in the car.
Well, I might.
Or on the street.
A little entertainment. That's entertainment. That's a good tune. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Michael Kopech. I'm kind of in a bad mood because of Michael Kopech today. I can't lie.
Well, the game doesn't count, Sean.
I know it doesn't.
It's practice. We're talking about practice.
And hey, but that doesn't mean...
My annual bit, right, Herb?
Yeah, it works.
You become Allen Iverson? Yeah,
it works every time.
I think you're taller than Allen Iverson.
Vinny is. Yeah. I'm not.
Okay. We have a service flashing the 2024 season guide that diehards can check out. They'll be able to check out White Sox Weekly as well. But our lovely, lovely diehards have been chatting about Michael Kopech's outing today, and guys like Ian and our guy Husky Bardo are saying they're ready to DFA Kopech, and who cares about spin rates? And you know what? I'm in a bad mood. It didn't go well. He gave up, back-to-back home runs to Sam Bouchard and Michael Taglia.
These sound like hockey players.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it back-to-back?
It was back-to-back.
Taglia, yeah. Then Bouchard?
Yeah.
Okay. And there was a guy on because I think Kopech walked him. They sound like hockey players, and they are the starting Rocky players,
wow.
I believe.
All right.
At least Taglia is. He's at least, like, I think, notable in Colorado. Bouchard, maybe not. But cement mixers is how you described them.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about the grips down there in Arizona, how the air is dry, and so you won't get the premium grip that you usually get when you go up north. So that could be his excuse. And also, as Vinny said, this is practice. But I don't know what you're practicing there. Like, those are just fattest meatballs ever. Now, not saying that I could hit those things, but any major league hitter – with any type of power would destroy him, like Taglia and Bouchard did. Both, one is a left-hander, one's a right-hander. And so, yeah, it's not great. His ERA is up to the sevens. It doesn't really matter to me. I think Michael Kopech will solve his problems before he gets to Chicago. And I think that most of the people who are making decisions for the White Sox will agree with me and not entertain Michael Kopech going to the bullpen, like I've heard this weekend from various outlets.
Well, here's the thing, Herb. I look at this two ways. Number one, what I always say, this is a practice game. It doesn't count, right?
Because of that reason,
this is not bad. It's not bad yet, right? We have to reserve judgment until we see him pitch in the regular season. But on the other hand, we got Pedro Grifol. I'm seeing quotes from him saying how they've got to start playing better and start figuring out how to win games, right? He's not necessarily pleased with the fact that even though it doesn't count, they're not really doing much winning or excelling much at spring training, right? And so I think that probably applies for everybody on this team, certainly the guys who aren't doing well right now. Michael Kopech is one of those guys. Michael Kopech had a bad season last year. It was on him to spend the offseason fixing the problems that he had on a regular basis every time he went out last season to pitch. And he showed up to spring training, and everybody was raving about how great of an offseason he had, and yet here are these problems. Now, again, maybe the regular season comes, and this is all just, oh, well, he was working on X, he was working on Y, he had a bad day here, he had a bad day there, it's Arizona, who the hell knows what's going on, and the regular season starts, and he's fine. That being said, that you can't ignore what's happening right now, and so it should be maybe concerning, perhaps, or maybe, ooh, something could be around the corner. You have to wait to find out what that is. But at the same time, this is a guy who's trying to get these people out. This is a guy who's trying to exercise those demons that he had last season. And yet, here he is going out there in his first dose of competition in 2024, and you're seeing a lot of the same problems. So that should maybe be a bit of a red flag. We'll see if it needs to be something that is a critical concern once the games start counting. But I think as we are in the middle of spring training here, we get to kind of the topic of this show, this episode today, which is we've got Michael Kopech struggling in Cactus League play. We've got Garrett Crochet thriving in Cactus League play. We heard Pedro Grifol say a week ago that Kopech doesn't have a rotation spot locked down yet. Is this a position battle that we should be maybe thinking about a little bit more?
Right. If it's pedal to the metal and you are and you have been preaching about competition so much throughout spring training, it would be weird if this continued. Kopech was, to put it lightly, ass, and Crochet continues to impress. He has not given up a run. His whip's under one. He's striking out pretty much everyone. And he's got names. He's got Otani. He's got Trout. He's got Manny Machado. I think he got Tatis. Like, he's striking out everybody. If he's facing a big name, he's just making them stare at a fastball. Like, he's been extremely, extremely impressive. It would be very weird for Pedro Grifol to be like, competition, competition, competition. And everyone could look at spring training and see that Garrett Crochet won that competition. It'd be weird for him to, you know, not give him that spot. It would be weird for him to not be rewarded. So, I don't know. I think if you asked me last week, is there a reality where Michael Kopech doesn't get a roster or rotation spot? I think I very adamantly said no. But apparently, I don't know. I don't know. He should be a starter, and I think this is all nonsense.
I can hear what Pedro would say to you when you bring up competition and that the numbers are this and that, the 7 ERA for Kopech and the 0 ERA for Crochet. But he'll say, well, competition is not just the games.
Right.
It's this, that, the other, and Garrett, while was good, wasn't as good as Michael. That's what I would think he would bring up, because ultimately, these games don't count. And yes, you are facing live bullets, and this is competition that should count for, you know, choosing which guy should be the starting rotation and the other guy should be going to the bullpen. But I think ultimately, Kopech has the leg up already because he's already been there, and they're not really stretching out Garrett Crochet. And the last couple times he's come out of the bullpen with two innings on Monday or Tuesday, and then 2 1/3 on Saturday. And so he's building up to be a starter, but he's coming out of the bullpen. He's not starting these games. And so I think that he's not progressing necessarily in innings pitched, except for a third of an inning. And I think they tried to get Michael Kopech through the third or the fourth, but it just didn't work out today.
Well, I think that's the main thing is, Sean, you set up a situation where it's like, this guy's doing well, this guy's doing poorly. I don't even think Garrett Crochet's main task this spring in trying to be a starting pitcher was performance. It was, can he physically do the job, right? Because we know that he doesn't have a lot of innings. He'll admit to you himself, he doesn't have the kind of inning base that allows you to be a starting pitcher under normal circumstances. Now, the White Sox are in a position where they can experiment and try some things out, but if the idea is that you want this guy to be a long-term piece of your puzzle, you have to maybe take him a little slowly in the build-up process. That's what they said they were going to do. So am I surprised that they're only at 2 1/3 innings for Garrett Crochet right now? No, but opening day doesn't move. Nope. And so that date on the calendar, where is he going to be at that point? Maybe that is what keeps him from a spot in an opening day rotation, far more so than he's doing well and Kopech isn't. Or get throw Kopech even out of it. He's doing great, but they're like, okay, keep doing great until you can throw five innings in a game.
And that's why all of this is just laughable, because it sounds like if he doesn't become a starter by opening day, he's going to be in the bullpen, which doesn't sound like a starter.
It
would make sense if it's like, oh, he was really impressive in spring training. We're going to continue him being a starter and him working on that down in the minor leagues. But it seems like he's going to be a major league pitcher. I don't know. I don't know. All of this is just baffling.
Yeah, I think the plan, if the plan is what you're saying, which it looks like it is to be, where Garrett Crochet, you're a major league player this year and the starter thing can go away. If he starts a year in the bullpen, they're not, I don't think, can stretch him out properly enough in bullpen outings to get him enough. You hope that he wouldn't be able to be stretched out enough. That means their starters are getting killed. Or you're using him as an opener, which is fine, and then stretching him out that way. But also, then it's just so like one foot in one side and the other foot on the other side instead of putting both feet in and diving in.
Right. And to be fair, we just haven't heard what they're thinking on this. It's not that they're sitting there going, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. It's that more so that they haven't told myself and my colleagues what they're thinking. And so that makes this a very difficult conversation to have, because you don't know what parameters they're using. And so we're just sitting here guessing, being like, well, it sounds like the most logical thing they should do is just to put him in the minor leagues, but we don't know because we don't know what they're thinking.
No, we don't. I think there was a possible way. Like, I threw out the idea of, you know, maybe he'll just be on a starter's break. Like, he'll just pitch and then he'll get 4 days off, and then he'll pitch and then he'll get 4 days off, but then that's taxing on the bullpen. Like, it's just, if you could have 14 pitchers, maybe that's what they would do. And maybe, you know, you just have Danny Mendick be like a super utility guy and you only have three batters on the bench. But like, it doesn't seem like that's just skirting the MLB rules. So you can't do that. So like, I don't know. I would be really shocked. I don't know if you guys would be, but like, if Kopech wasn't in the rotation, like, yeah. It seems like Flexen's pretty solidly in the rotation. Soroka seems like he's solidly in the rotation.
And he's pitching well, too. I mean, again, yeah, that was right. The thing is, like, I kind of cautioned everybody before spring training started, like, hey, this guy was a minor leaguer last year. Like, he might not be that slam dunk guy in the rotation that everybody thinks just because you've heard of him before and he made an all-star team a while back. But he's backing it up this spring, and so it makes it look like what a lot of folks thought all along. He would be the guy in that rotation, and he's pitching like he is going to be one.
And the thing, too, at least with Kopech, like White Sox Tom brings up that he was tipping pitches last year. You mentioned it doesn't seem like this was a tipping pitches issue with spring training. They were just fat meatballs.
Yeah.
Right? They were bad pitches, which is fine. And then the thing that doesn't really stress me out about the Kopech thing is they were both off sliders. And we know that Michael Kopech is dominant as a starter when his fastball is working, right? And when he's able to constantly throw that in the zone. We weren't able to watch the game. We really don't know how well he did setting up pitches in the zone. We don't know how well he was confidently attacking the zone with his fastball, but just throwing meatball sliders will happen. You'll have bad days. Oh, well. Like, if Michael Kopech was going to have truly six innings to work, would that be the only runs that he would given up? Like, I don't know. It's not really concerning when he gives those homers up because those are obviously going to happen. Those are your secondary pitches. Last year, he gave up seven homers on his four-seam fastball to righties, I think. Like, he's just not typically giving up that homer pitch, and I think that's usually when he's, like, maybe declining in velocity and effectiveness. Doesn't seem like that's happening. Like, we're still 17 days away from opening day. I think we'll probably see at least, what, three more starts from Kopech, possibly, maybe two. Like, we'll see. Like, I really do think, like, it would need Michael Kopech having, like, a mental breakdown to get him to not be in the opening day rotation.
I mean,
like,
I
don't know.
The way they talked about him, I've brought this up before, the way they talked about him last at the end of last season was they're going to exhaust every opportunity to try to make this guy be a starting pitcher. It seems like having a bad spring is not exhausting every opportunity.
Yeah, well, he gave up two homers today, so he's probably the worst pitcher ever, and he should probably be DFA'd and sent to Korea. Likely.
Well, if he gets DFA'd, they can't send him anywhere.
Also,
no, they should.
He would have to then voluntarily go.
Okay, maybe I don't
say that's punitive, but also Korea's excellent.
Maybe I don't understand the term, but designate for assignment, it seems like they could designate him for a Korean assignment if they wanted to.
Yeah. They're like North Korea. Like, I mean, hey, calm down.
But wait, actual question. He just has options left, right?
I guess.
I don't remember him.
He's still
ever
on his rookie deal, and he hasn't been sent down since he came up. He just didn't play because he was injured.
The roster resource got that, Sean. But hey.
Three MLB options.
Yeah. They could just send him to AAA. Not that they should or would, but they could.
Well, we've seen that. We've seen that, like, that most of the White Sox roster is, like, quad A guys. So if you send Andrew Vaughn down to Charlotte, he will just be, like, you know, Paul Konerko of Charlotte, right? Like, they have some really decent players. They're just not good yet. I'm waiting for the day that they're good. Like, imagine that. Imagine if we watched good baseball once.
Herb, doesn't Sean with that hat backwards look like Pablo Sanchez right now?
Thank you.
If I knew who Pablo Sanchez was.
Oh, backyard baseball?
Yeah.
I'm too old for that?
I'm ancient, Vinny.
I don't think they had computers in his day.
No. We played the Oregon Trail in life, not on the computer.
Yeah. You had to go to Oregon.
Yeah. Dysentery was part of our curriculum.
Like, think of the backyard baseball graphics and then think of the Oregon Trail graphics.
Yeah.
Like, those are, that's different decades and years and
just a
centuries.
Green screen, like, you're going to die. Everybody in your party is dying. Thanks. Thanks, teachers, to teaching me about mortality at a seven-year-old kid. I'm going to die. Ugh.
All of the wheels fell off your wagon.
So everybody's dying for some reason.
We're going to take a break. We're going to let you know about Wisconsin Innovation, our good friends over at Leinenkugel, and we'll also let you know about our friends over at Game Time, how you could likely go visit the White Sox on March 28th and get a nice deal from our friends over at Game Time.
When I say the words Wisconsin Innovation, several things probably come to mind, right? The cheese curd, perhaps. Mm-hmm. The indoor water park. Maybe even Summerfest? But of course, the one thing that should be coming to your mind is what they do with the beers up there in Chippewa Falls. Yes. At Leinenkugel's. They make a delicious roster of beer. Of course, the one that we're all very excited about at this time of year is the Summer Shandy. I saw it in the Jewel the other day, so it is Shandy season. Summer is here in Chicago, as you can tell, because it's like 65 degrees outside today. But a lovely time of year. Get yourself a case of Summer Shandy, perhaps two, three. They're easy to drink. Herb, yes?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And go over by the lake and hang out all day on a summer day with some Summer Shandy. Go down to the parking lot over at Guaranteed Rate Field before a Sox game. Have yourself some Summer Shandy. Take it up in a canoe up in Wisconsin and paddle it around and drink it on a big lake.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun. It's fantastic. Now, if you're not a Summer Shandy person, and who isn't?
Why wouldn't you?
There's still many great beers to choose from.
Exactly.
Herb's enjoying a Sunset Wheat. We frequently partake in the Lakeside Cherry here. There's also the Honey Vice, which is made with real Wisconsin honey. You can go up across the border and have some Leinenkugel's original. Maybe you go into Summerfest and you're like, which way to the Liney's tent? I need to get me in a Leinenkugel's original because I'm here in Wisconsin. It's all fantastic, and it's all perfect for drinking either in Wisconsin or all around the country and world. Here is the part, though, that I have to read. Flavor life's simple moments with Leinenkugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to Leine.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's Leine.com/CHGO. Or pick up Leinenkugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. As I mentioned, you can get it at the Jewels right now. Leinenkugel's, flavor the moment, celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. They got all my money in Chippewa Falls.
They do?
Yes. Yes.
At Game Time, they believe that you shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, theater events near you. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. You can see the view from your seats before you buy, so you know exactly to expect when you do arrive. And all-in prices show you the total upfront. So there's no hidden fees there. You know you're getting a great deal with Game Time, and you can buy your tickets in seconds with two taps. The Game Time guarantee is where you go to Game Time and buy your tickets like I did before Atlanta, and then you go and check all the rest of the secondary sites and see if there's any deals that are inexpensive or less expensive than the one you bought from Game Time. I did that in Atlanta. Only one had it, so I sent this information to Game Time, and within 12 minutes, I got the best price and 110% of the difference between those two prices in my Game Time account. And with zone deals, you pick the section, Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18%. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Well, thank you, Herb. All right, let's move on. I don't know. There's something about
an abrupt end to that ad read.
Yeah, sure. What's
up? You threw Sean for a loop.
That's what it says. Lowest prices guaranteed.
Okay.
I can add something else at the end.
No, so you're good. It's
more of an exclamation point.
Just go Game Time. Yes.
Right, they do have a lot of my money at Game Time. Not all the money, but some of my money.
Hey, and you got some of that money back, too.
Damn right. All right. Thank you, Game Time.
All right, let's move into our next topic. And Vinny plugged or replugged the article from last week about Colson Montgomery. I don't think it's obviously surprising that Colson Montgomery got sent down. Is the timing surprising, though?
I don't know. Not particularly. I mean, usually you see this start to happen with these guys. Obviously, minor league camp is a thing. That's where Colson Montgomery is going. He can continue to work on the same stuff that he's working on. They'll have B games, you know, back on the backfields and stuff that he can play in. So I don't think that the timing is indicative of anything. The expectation is he will start the season at AAA Charlotte, and it might not be it might not be long, relatively speaking, before he's up at the major league level. In fact, I really think that he'll be on the big league team before the end of this season.
Is it a thing where it's like we don't want to keep him too long on the major league camp for both his and the fans and our sanity? Like, oh, man, Colson's still on the major league camp last week of the season. Can he make the team type of thing? Is it just more like, we know where you're going. You know what, we've already told you where you're going. Might as well just do it now instead of waiting until later on where it's going to happen.
Yeah, and also, too, like, there, as we've talked about numerous times in the last week or so, there are a lot of guys battling for that backup infielder job.
Yeah, there are.
And so they need that playing time. You know what I mean? Like, if it's truly a competition, they're truly going to split the hairs of who's playing well. They need to see maybe more from Braden Shoemake. They need to see more from Danny Mendick. They need to see more from Lenine Sosa. So, Colson, while he might be better than all of those guys already, is not a candidate for that job, for that roster spot. So, with the, you know, they've only got what about, I mean, less than 2 weeks worth of spring training games left, right, or right about there. So use those games and those opportunities to get these guys who might be part of your major league team the playing time that they need to
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, again, it would be pretty shocking, I think, if Colson was going to be on the opening day roster. So at least go get him more direct competition. And also, too, to let these guys actually who are fighting, who are more quad A players like Shoemake and maybe Mendick battle out there. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, it was fun to see him. In the Arizona Fall League, he had, like, that one moment, that lefty-on-lefty homer, where it's like, oh, wow, look at Colson Montgomery. Look how good Colson Montgomery was. I don't think there was any bad moments from him, but I don't think there was any, like, wow, Colson Montgomery moments this spring training, which is fine. He only played, like, five games or something
He didn't start many of them either.
Yeah.
And aren't they doing the little showcase for MLB, too, this coming up this week? So
look at you, Herb.
Might as well just, you know, transition him to there. It's like, hey, get in minor league camp. We're going to see what you can do. Dominate these rest of these teams in the Arizona Fall League or the Arizona Spring Training League.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, again, like, showcase?
What's it called? Spring Breakout.
Yes, Spring Breakout.
Look at you.
Doesn't sound good. A breakout is never a good thing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound
a lot
good.
Of acne going around in Arizona.
And it doesn't sound good when, you know, that roster includes the starting right fielder.
It does.
Like,
but they can always pull him back.
I guess it's a little different, but I don't know. It's a little queasy, making me a little. But along with these demotions, you got Peyton Burdick, Zach Deloach, and Alex Spies going to AAA Charlotte. Brian Ramos going to AA Birmingham. Tim Elko, Colson Montgomery, and Carlos Perez going to minor league camp. I mean, it's still possible, I guess. Montgomery could go to AA?
Possible, I suppose. He didn't play that many games there. I guess they could say we need to see more from you at the AA level. That being said, we talked to Chris Getz over the offseason, and he basically said that the idea was that Montgomery would start the season at AAA if he didn't make the big league team. Obviously, that was several months ago and several roster changes ago and stuff like that. But my expectation is that he will be at AAA.
Yeah, and I think it's good probably not to see any rushing from the White Sox with Colson Montgomery. But oh well.
And before you go, minor league camp, I mean, it's in the same facility, of course, yep. And it's just, the majors, of course, get priority with both the games and their facilities, but the minor league camp, are they, like, separated literally, or are they just, hey, you guys are minor leaguers, you're practicing with us, but also know that you're in the minor league camp, or is there an actual physical delineation between the two people?
Yeah, obviously they'll have different clubhouses.
Okay,
first of all, and then second of all, they practice at different times of day.
Okay,
so you'll have usually the big league team will take up the backfields for as long as they need them, and then the minor league guys will go out there a little later in the day. Not that the minor league guys aren't working out the same length of time, but maybe they'll be like reserved to hitting in the cage or lifting weights while the big league guys kind of take up the field space. And then once the big league guys come in for the day, then the minor league guys go out.
I got to say, I'm excited. I mean, I can't remember. I guess it was literally, 2018 and 2019 when I was this excited about the White Sox farm system. But it's been a while. I'd rather be fighting for a division. But, hey, I'll take an interesting farm system.
It's worth noting that. Remember how quickly it fell from being one of the best in baseball to being one of the worst in baseball? It has been equally quick in which it's jumped up from being one of the worst ranked to middle of the pack. And so, it obviously has improved vastly in a short amount of time.
Well, and two, once the White Sox get Spencer Jones and a Dylan Cease trade, they'll be top 10, baby. Fred says, no reason to bring up Montgomery this year. Why start the clock during a third or fourth place finish year? Kind of optimistic there from Fred to even think third place. But I think, if anything, it's just September. What is this team playing for? You're not really starting the clock. You're not actually, this isn't a full year for Colson Montgomery. He'll still be eligible, even if you bring him up in September, to be Rookie of the Year in 2025 if he does perform that well. There's no reason not to bring him up in September once the season's finished.
I'll say a couple of things. First of all, White Sox fans are well trained in that whole start the clock idea because that was kind of en vogue around baseball when the last time we were talking about highly rated prospects, right? That has kind of gone by the boards a little bit. You don't really see that around the game quite as much anymore as you did for that in that period of time. You know, obviously Chris Bryant was the big case, the big headline case that actually went to, you know, some sort of dispute resolution or something like that. Yeah. But and you saw it maybe a little bit with some of the White Sox guys under the previous administration, but it doesn't really happen as much the last few years. Mainly the reason the White Sox wouldn't do that is because I don't think Chris Getz is hoping that this takes forever. I think Chris Getz and the people who are in charge of the White Sox are hoping that their next period of contention can come around as soon as possible. And so if Colson Montgomery getting a month's worth of major league at-bats, or let's say two, let's say he's killing it in July and they want to call him up for August, well, you know. But again, the point being, if him being in the major leagues for 2 months helps advance, you know, advance the goal of getting to contention, even if it's still 2 years down the road, well, now it's 2 months less than that down the road kind of thing. It can inform their offseason better. It can inform next season better and the offseason after that better. It might just help bring about things a little bit quicker, which I think is what they are hopeful will happen rather than what White Sox fans watched under Rick Hahn, which was, hey, we know this is going to take 4 years, you know, so we have all the time in the world to kill kind of thing. I don't know if Chris Getz is thinking about it in those same terms.
I also think it has a good effect on the rest of the morale of the minor leaguers. If Colson Montgomery is murdering the minor leagues, whether double A or triple A or both, and you bring him up in August, you tell the rest of your players, like, hey, once you perform in the minor leagues and we believe you're ready, the clock won't matter to us. The time of the year won't matter to us. You coming in for those months of August and September, or just September, and playing in the major leagues will be more valuable than you sitting down there in the minors battling for a championship for Birmingham or for Charlotte. You getting that experience, understanding what major league pitching is all about, getting that taste of actual major league pitching can inform you as a player in your offseason what you need to do and what you need to work on coming back for the next offseason. You're not, you know, necessarily like learning in April of 2025. You're already got it in 2024. And so when you hit 2025, you're not necessarily like hitting the ground running, but you're better on the track than you would been if you're just coming up as a rookie in April with no major league experience. So it's good to say to the rest of the teams, like, he was good. He hit this and that and the other, improved on defense, and we said he was ready to play in the major leagues, even if it was those 2 months. And even if Fred, we were still doing the service time manipulation thing, that would be even better for the White Sox and the morale throughout the whole system.
I don't know. I mean, first off, I think they have a reputation of calling guys up too early. So I don't think, like, anyone in the White Sox organization is being like, oh, well, if, you know, I'm ready, they're going to keep me down and they're going to hold me back. Like, I mean, look at Andrew Vaughn. Look at Luis Robert Jr.
They had Aloy Jimenez. Deals, though. Huh? Those two had to sign deals, the last two guys, before they had to be up on the team.
I mean, now there are new rules where, you know, obviously you can get draft picks if you do call up, you know, top 10 players or top 10 prospects. We saw this with Corbin Carroll. But I think it's just going to – I mean, it seems like Montgomery's going to be a – MLB player in 2025. Seems like, I think August will probably be a little bit too soon, just because you would start the clock and just you'd get dinged for 2024. You want to be able to control Colson Montgomery for 6 years.
You'll still have him for 6 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean,
plus those 2 months in 2024.
Not if you do it wrong. I mean, if you call him up too early.
If you call him up, yes, right now, yes. You'll still have him for 6 years, but it'll start in 2024 instead of 2025.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be...
I think you still have to have 171 service days to qualify for a year.
We'll see what happens. He won't be starting the year in the major league, so we know that. Let's take a break. We'll let you know about some of our sponsors, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Dylan Cease and Garrett Cole news. We want to let you know, though, about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Football season may be over, but the action is heating up on the floor, whether it's tournament season or the fight for the playoff home court. There's nothing, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Conference tournaments are here, which means the biggest moments in college basketball are getting closer. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You could turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, and you can make these entries in under a minute. It's very easy. It's very quick. All you have to do is just pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections. So go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
CSU White Sox, the show you're watching and or listening to right now. We have 3 takeovers scheduled for the 2024 season. May 27th, Memorial Day versus KPW's Toronto Blue Jays. June 24th with Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez. Added Mookie that one.
You got Mookie in there this time.
And the Los
shortstop.
And he's been looking rough at shortstop. Oh God, why are they doing this? And the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hopefully,
give him a day. It hasn't been a week.
Yeah, but why
he's
are
an
they
athletic?
He very king. Much so. But give why a, are they doing this though? Golly,
because the other guy sucks.
I got it. They have all the money in the world. They're like, let's kind of go cheap on the second base shortstop thing.
They need to find a position for him that that uses his bowling skills.
Very true. Maybe you can bowl it from second base.
So that's June 24th, and join us that day, or August 9th versus Cody Bellinger and the Cubs.
Did you say they cheaped out at second base? They literally have Mookie Betts there.
I understand, but they're not like doing it right. He's a Gold Glove right fielder, and they're moving him to second base because they didn't have any other alternative at second base. And then when the shortstop sucked and Gavin Lux, they're like, you're bum ass, go to second, and you go to shortstop.
He played second base last year and was fine.
Understood. He's good, but I don't want to move your Gold Glover from where he exceeds or excels to a position that he doesn't excel
at. Don't they have Gold Glover Jason Hayward out there?
Prediction. Prediction, the Dodgers will be fine.
They'll be fine.
They'll be so fine.
Oh, but, you could have taken some of that money that you spent on, Yamamoto and said, let's get a real second baseman.
And they wouldn't have Yamamoto.
It's probably better for the team. Remember, the White Sox took him deep.
You're whack.
He's a bum. These seats will be in the section 147 third baseline. And remember, if you're a diehard member, you get 20% off of this event. And all events get 20% off of T-shirts, 20% off of hats. Hat in front of you. You get that little box when you become a diehard member. And as Sarah's showing right there, the CHGO Chicago collection is live right damn now. You can get a T-shirt. I got that Second City shirt. And if you are a diehard, you get 20% off of that shirt. And if you want to become a diehard, you get one of those shirts for free or one of the many shirts on the CHGO locker that we have available. Become a diehard right now at allchgo.com. By the way, that was May 27th, June 24th, August 9th for our takeovers in section 147 down the third baseline. So go there now and join us for one of those games or all of them.
Thank you, Herb. All right, and we gave you time to go read Vinny's article. I guess it is 5:39, so you have still a minute. So I can just bring up Fred's comment of DeJong to the Dodgers. Let's start the rumors now. I don't hate it. Because apparently they need to replace Mookie Betts.
I'm not saying that Mookie Betts would be bad, but I've seen a couple of these plays he's hit deep in the hole. He's shaky as hell at shortstop.
Jason Hayward,
yes,
had a 2 WAR last year and a 117 OPS plus.
Okay,
I would trade my firstborn child for David Fletcher or Dominic Fletcher, whomever, to go do that this year.
You're gonna get Dominic Fletcher to get a 1.17 WAR? Go get that.
No, 2 WAR. He's not gonna get a 1.7 WAR. Why are you so bullish on Dominic Fletcher?
He's fine. I'm just saying you got 35-year-old.
He's fine.
35-year-old
White Sox haven't gotten
Hayward.
That since 2006.
Understood. I'm not arguing that the White Sox are terrible, but I'm thinking what the Dodgers are doing is not smart. Just go and get you a second baseman. Or if Gavin Lux is not good at being a shortstop, keep Mookie Betts at the position he came up as a second baseman and get somebody else to be the shortstop. You're ruining him and Lux at the same time by putting them in positions they're not familiar with.
I don't think you can ruin Mookie Betts. I'd like to see them try.
I mean, the bat will still play the field. And
All right.
Man's almost a 10 war when he's playing right field because of the hitting and the bat and the fielding.
Well, let him figure out shortstop. I bet he'll be fine. It's 5:40.
Don't we have a Yankee-related topic to get to before?
We do.
Or are you going to switch it around?
I don't know. I mean, the Yankee thing, I think it might be brief. So let's jump into the Yoan Moncada
all right.
thing. Let's keep it a little bit more White Sox-centric. Jesus.
After all of our Dodger talk.
After all of our Dodger talk. You have in this article the quote from Chuck Garfine, from Pedro Grifol, about the second position. That's a selfless spot. You have to give yourself up. Not a lot, but some. You have to take pitches, move guys over. You might have to bunt, hit and run. And he's all in on that about Yoan Moncada. And then we saw this weekend, Yoan Moncada laid down a bunt for a single. What do we make of Yoan Moncada and the B word?
Well, I'll say this. I think the first things first, and that's Yoan Moncada, when healthy, figures to be one of the better hitters on the team. Mm-hmm. Last year at this time, Pedro Grifol was talking about how he thought that guy could be an MVP candidate. Pedro Grifol is not going to make a guy he thinks can be an MVP candidate bunt every time he goes up to the plate. So we can dispel the notion that he's going to, you know, turn him into a National League pitcher, you know, who just is going up there squaring away and throwing that jacket on and going back to the dugout. But listen, I think that Pedro Grifol, the most important thing to him this year is seeing that different style of play. And I think what the team brass showed during the offseason is that they want to bring in guys who can specifically play that type of baseball, and which includes doing all of those things that you know, home run hitters perhaps do not do, right? And that's play really good, sound, fundamental defense, play really smart on the base paths, and be able to do little things like bunting and, you know, hitting the ball to the right side so the guy can go from second to third. And all of that stuff. I don't expect it to be employed when it comes to Yoan Moncada on a regular basis, but the idea that he has that ability is what Pedro Grifol wants to see from his number two hitter. Now, we can have an entirely different discussion about the philosophy of what a number two hitter should be. Obviously, when Pedro Grifol describes it, he does not seem to be describing the modern number two hitter that we see across baseball. But Pedro Grifol's the manager, and he can set things up the way he wants to do it. The way he wants to do it is see a lineup that is as, I guess, versatile would be an okay word, skilled, we'll say, as possible. That's the explanation behind it, and it sure sounds like Yoan Moncada is down to do anything that the team asks him to do. They, you know, this is a guy who's gotten dinged a lot throughout his career for what people perceive him to be thinking or feeling, and that perception from everybody that you hear from the White Sox talking about Moncada is incorrect. And this is a guy who is, to use one of the letters in the acronym, selfless, right? And this is a guy who is trying to be all about the team and all about winning. He's had injuries and health-related issues pretty much prevent him from being able to do anything and any of that over the course of the last really 4 years now. He's feeling healthy, and maybe he's ready to show people what kind of hitter and what kind of player, all-around player, he can be. It sure sounds like when you talk to Pedro, when I talked to Pedro, that Moncada is one of the guys who is buying in. And again, it remains a question of whether him and Aloy and Robert and the guys who have been here will play that style of baseball that Pedro wants to see. But Moncada showing some buy-in shows maybe that Pedro's made a little bit more progress on at least spreading that message. We'll see if it ends up working, but spreading that message than some folks might think.
If you look at Pedro's FAST acronym, the fearless, I don't think bunting is fearless, and then aggressive is definitely not. But as you said, he is very selfless to give yourself up to move the guy to second base or second to third, which I hate all this. Remember, I hate sacrifice bunting. But the other day, Yoan put down a perfect bunt to get a hit. I'm good for that. And then the T, technically sound, sound, mm-hmm. bunting takes that for you. So he's got two of the four letters going for yourself right there. What?
He got a bunt single.
Bunt singles are fine.
The whole word is fast. You gotta be fast to get a bunt single. He embraced the whole word, baby. He's fast.
I didn't. No, he didn't.
That's not, fast as hell.
That's not fearless.
Fearless. He was burning.
You're bunting to get something. I mean, that hit was good, but I don't know if that's aggressive. But I like, as Vinny said, you can't have it both ways, White Sox fans. You can't say he's all about himself and he's this prima donna and then also say, I don't like he's being selfless by bunting there and you, giving up of himself and his stats. Remember, it is a walk year for Yoan Moncada, or could be a walk year for Yoan Moncada. So he wants to do and say everything that is right now, but I guarantee you this year goes the way that we think it's going to be. That fast is going to go away, and Yoan's going to be like, hey, man, I don't want to be button man to first to second. We're 30 games out of first place. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's what I think. I think Yoan and the bunting aspect, I think he just wants to put it out there. Pedro wants to put it out there. Yoan agrees with it because we're in spring training. And then when the rubber hits the road, things might be different. And Pedro might have just been putting this out there for other teams to be thinking that Yoan's going to be bunting a lot and actually did bump the other day, and he never bumped in the regular season.
I'll say this. If Yoan Moncada ends up bunting as many times as some of you folks are afraid that he's going to, wow, what a year Andrew Benintendi is having. It means he's going to be on first base every time.
That's true. Well, here's the thing that I don't get from Fred, and maybe it's sarcasm, but and it doesn't really translate well over comments, but I don't want Moncada doing any of that. I want him getting on base, hitting homers. We're talking about him getting a bunt single. Last time I checked, you get on base for that.
Like, sure, but
his on base percentage would go up.
Sure, but that's also not what Pedro's talking about.
Yeah, he's talking about giving of yourself, sacrificing.
Pedro's talking more
kind of
philosophically about what he thinks the number two hitter, regardless of who it is, should be, right? And I think that's probably the thing that people have the most issue with. But you're right. If you can get a hit, get a hit. That's getting maybe on base. And, you know, this is another thing that Pedro brought up specific to Moncada is running the pitch count up when you're in that number two hole, right? Give the guys who are the big boppers behind you a chance to see what the opposing pitcher's got. Right. Yoan Moncada has that skill. Mm-hmm. He's shown that he can walk a ton in a season. That's the one thing Pedro brought up. I mean, it's not just the one thing. Sacrifice bunt. He's not going to be just doing that every time. But there is a Venn diagram overlap, perhaps, in the style that Pedro wants to see and the style that you guys want to see. And there are some parts of that. And as much of that that Yoan Moncada can do, I think benefits, you know, makes both sides of that argument happy.
Well, guarantee I think if he hits it to like a 4-6-3 double play to start the year, oh, Moncada, people be bitching about him immediately. It's like, why don't you bump there?
People just like to bitch.
Look at this guy.
I don't know. If he hits into a double play, you strike out, so I'll take that. I think it's a good sign, too. We heard so much about his back hurting him. If your back hurts you, I don't think you want to lay down a bunt and then run to first. Like, I think it's very encouraging that Yoan Moncada wants to do all of these difficult things, right? Like, he wants to lay down a bunt and then hustle over to first. Like, I think that this could be a very big year for Moncada, and as long as he's healthy and is able to do all those things physically, we might see something really interesting from Moncada. I mean, again, 2019, White Sox Tom's talking about Moncada hitting the Mendoza line. In 2019, when James Fegan voted for him for MVP and got lambasted.
Not first place, remember.
No, it was literally 10th. He hit 315 Like, if Yoan Moncada hits 315, every single person in the chat, their heads will explode. Like, I don't know. Like,
well, I think it's more just, so
it's encouraging that he looks healthy.
Sure,
and seemingly feels it.
I think more so the case is if he has a year like he had in 2019, you're not going to make him bunt at all.
No,
because he's going to be so hot that letting him swing away is going to give you a much better chance of winning.
And
than
you're
bunting.
Hitting that option too, the team option for next year. You're hitting it immediately, hoping and praying, or looking to trade him because, man, if he hits 2019 levels of White Sox them. This team's going to win some games.
That's a top seven MLB third baseman.
That's a top five MLB third baseman.
Oh, wow.
2021 was a top seven guy.
He had a sacrifice hit in 2019.
One of the four in his career.
One of the four in his career. Yeah, look at you. Damn, I didn't know you knew.
Yeah, it's in the article.
I just wrote the article.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Gerrit Cole here in the last 10 minutes. Gerrit Cole is having an MRI on his right elbow. That's the throwing one. So that's not good, folks. No. It's not confirmed that he will have Tommy John, but it doesn't sound good for the Yankees ace. I think everyone's knee-jerk reaction is Dylan Cease, Dylan Cease, Dylan Cease. The Yankees are one of the most aggressive teams in Major League Baseball. I think they'll wait, obviously, until you hear more clarity on what is going to happen with Gerrit Cole. But if Gerrit Cole is out and getting Tommy John and won't be pitching in 2024, will we then see dominoes start to fall, whether it be Cease, Snell, or Montgomery?
Well, I'll put it this way. This is what we talked about in the offseason, right? Man, things can change between the, let's say, December and the trade deadline, and it's nowhere near the trade deadline. Here we are in mid-March, mm-hmm. and things have changed, right? We talked about earlier in the spring the injuries that happened in the Orioles rotation, right? Mm-hmm. Now here we are talking about a potential injury in the Yankees rotation. Things change that make these teams more desperate, that change the landscape and the terrain for these teams that increases their need, not just for starting pitching, for elite starting pitching. The White Sox have Dylan Cease. The teams know what they want for him, and if they are now more willing to pay that price because, the guy that we thought was going to be at the top of our rotation or near the top of our rotation can't pitch, all of a sudden things have shifted dramatically. So if that ends up being the thing that gets Dylan Cease traded, well, then here you go. This is the exact kind of incident we were talking about happening. Or the Yankees could just say, yeah, let's see what happens, and we'll circle back to this before July. Maybe things have changed again, and there is another team that we're not even thinking about out there who's looking for Dylan Cease, and the Yankees are like, we're fine. Our rotation has been amazing, even with or without Gerrit Cole. So I think that this is probably only a positive development in terms of increasing the need for Dylan Cease elsewhere in baseball. But just like things have changed dramatically since last week, things can change dramatically over the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, and as you brought up, Sean, they have options other than the trade market with Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery both being out there, Jordan Montgomery, former Yankee, being available. They could look at that situation and say, all we have to give up is money for these guys, where we have to give up actual people like Spencer Jones, like you're talking about, to acquire Dylan Cease. And they probably already know the number or the players that the White Sox would want in return. And the Yankees are in a desperate spot. Even Nestor Cortez has kind of hurt himself, and haven't seen good stuff from Carlos Rodon. So the Yankees are the Yankees. They cannot just take this laying down and say, oh, well, 2024, it's been good if Gerrit Cole goes on the shelf. Remember, he is the reigning AL Cy Young, so they would want that type of pitcher coming back. So, yeah, Dylan Cease fits the profile. So does AL and NL Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell. So I think there's a lot of options up for the Yankees, and also I think that people need to give Chris Getz an apology because they were like, he messed up by not trading him to this team or that team or that team. As we see, as you talked about, Vinny, there is a lot of time available still to get what you asked for Dylan Cease. Even though the people balked at your price, it doesn't mean eventually they're not going to have to come back to you and say, here's your price that you asked for. And at that time, it might be even higher because you're desperate, especially now with the Yankee situation, if Gerrit Cole goes on the shelf.
Well, and two, Brian Cashman notably has done a pretty good job with the Yankees. And I think if I'm counting right, three, four, last year was only the fifth time since 1998 where the Yankees missed the playoffs. So
surprised it's that high.
Right. Very good. The standard's extremely high. I don't know. Like, this is, they just acquired Juan Soto. Doesn't seem like a team that's just going to sit there and lie and take it taken down. So, yeah, I mean, I could see Montgomery, too, being a player that signs there just because he's been a Yankee before. Snell, I think, would be surprising, but they've had talks with him. So I don't know if it's going to just immediately send all the sirens off for Dylan Cease and an immediate trade. We'll see what happens.
But we agree that if he goes on the shelf with Tommy John, then we're talking about Gerrit Cole, they're going to make a move, a serious move.
Yeah. I think a Snell or Montgomery will be signed, though. I think they're more likely to sign someone, though.
Yeah.
Because it's just money. It's just money and you're the Yankees.
And you've got this strange offseason in which these guys are still available.
Right.
You know, in a quote-unquote normal year, all the free agents have already been signed at this point, and your options are limited to what you can do. Now it's basically like
you kind of have a choice.
It's basically like he got hurt in January.
Yeah, seriously. I guess the one concern is just that you're 17 days away from opening day. So it's just, are these guys going to get ready, and can they get ready within 2 weeks? All right. Well, that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. Yeah. Maybe as Fred says, 1 year, $40 million for Snell. I'd sign that. That sounds, I'd work.
Oh, I'd take that. Yeah, absolutely.
They wouldn't blink at that. And I would definitely take it too. Yep. I'll take a fraction of that.
We would all play take with the Yankees. $40 million for 1 year.
I'll take 4 years, $1 million.
There you go. Wait to negotiate yourself a deal.
Yankees, so much savings could be had.
And you'll go every fifth day to varying degrees.
I mean, I won't be good, but I'll stand on the mound every fifth day.
I think you'd go every day if they asked
you. Big league hitters would probably not know what to do with what I would have coming at them.
It's below the hitting level.
The old changeup.
Or just soft.
That didn't reach the plate, Vinny.
The slow ball. Like,
so? Yeah. I'm getting paid four years for $1 million.
The unintentional Bugs Bunny slow ball.
The Ephus to the Ephus.
Yes.
Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. We really appreciate that. Hit that subscribe button. I do want to leave you with one final note of news. Hitting his first spring training home run as a Miami Marlin, Tim Anderson goes deep over the right field wall, hitting a fastball the other way.
Here we go. Timmy's back.
Tim looked like a Tim swing. Looked like a true TA swing. So you love to see it. I obviously would rather see Tim Anderson have a great year than anyone else, I think. If Tim Anderson's the best shortstop in Major League Baseball in 2024, I will not be upset. No?
Oh, I wouldn't be upset.
I don't know.
Either.
You were making a face.
No, I wouldn't be upset either. I'm just trying to
think. You're just thinking of Paul DeYoung?
No, never.
I said that and you just immediately thought of Paul DeYoung?
Come on, Sean. Paul DeYoung. You should be happy about him.
All right.
No one cares.
That's going to do it.
He had a home run, by the way, today, too.
Today?
He did.
Oh, wow. Watch out, Dodgers. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And go read his work at allchgo.com. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at EckerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. I'm Sean Anderson, your CHGO White Sox host. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. And make sure you follow us at CHGO_White Sox. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Bye-bye. We all silly like the mayor.